Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
What is going on, Jordan?
Another beautiful day in paradise. Actually, it's quite gloomy outside, but other than that, not bad.
All right.
Man. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. Ready to get into quite a slate that we've had in terms of the basketball games. It's been last two games in terms of women's and men's. They're doing what we expect of them, and then some, especially on the women's side.
Oh, boy.
But let's kick it off with this men's basketball game.
Taking care of business against Tulsa, 98-79, Mason Jones with 41 points. That is the highest in like two decades or something like that in the university. Question about Mr. Jones. Will he cost us a game?
Yes.
How many?
I mean, when I answer like that, it makes it sound like I care. But, I mean, he's already got one where he won a game for us, but... Let's be real. It was, you know, what was it, a 30-foot bank?
Yeah, No, not taking away credit there, but what I mean is with his mouth.
With his mouth? Like getting teed up?
Yeah.
All right, so...
He's a chirper. I like his fire and stuff, but...
I was going to say, real early, game one, you were talking like, oh, he's fired up. It's good to see. He's showing his emotion, and now you're like, shut up.
A little bit. It's going to cost us, man.
What like, a hog fan.
I was thinking about it the other day watching that. And from my point of view, if I can't remember the kid's name, Ole Miss, white boy, probably about 5 years ago, maybe even closer to 6 years ago.
I don't give a crap about Ole Miss. Stop it.
Well, yeah, he was a mouth runner.
The only one irritating. The only one that, you know, jumps out at me and it wasn't even... SEC, it was old Grayson Allen, but that was because of, I mean, he's pretty notable for that in terms of mouth running and just kicking people.
I'm just wondering how long till Musselman's like, all right, brother, you got to calm down a little bit. You know, you can celebrate a shot, you can, you know, high five and do a little chest bump and stuff, but pretty soon.
I mean, it sounds like he had a little bit of extra if they're, you know, right before the, you know, game tip off, they come walking in and starts spouting some hate and doing some trash talk before they even get to the court.
Yeah, something about...
Went into the locker room and they called us out talking trash, according to Mason Jones.
When they said road killer, was that them on the road and they were going to kill us? Or is that like a shot at the Razorback?
Well, it's kind of like... I haven't heard anything about him recently, but Bozell show... He had Tiger Bait that would call in, and he was an LSU fan, right?
Right.
But his name was Tiger Bait.
Which would make you the victim of whatever crap you're trying to talk about now.
So, that always got me.
Geographically speaking, they don't know where the hell they're from. Yeah. I mean, they're hurricanes in the Midwest, whatever that's worth.
Golden.
Golden Hurricanes.
Which typically when you add golden in front of something, it ain't good.
Yeah. Was that putting a bow on a turd? Still a turd?
Yeah,
like that?
Exactly.
No, so I guess it doesn't bother you any, Mason Jones' mouth?
No, I was more or less saying that he's a confident player and he's probably going to take a shot that he shouldn't take to be like a game winner, a tie, or something of that nature.
You know, when the game started, I thought Isaiah was going to have him a career day.
Yeah.
I think he hit three right off the bat, got us up pretty good. I was like, man, he might go for 40. I literally had that thought, like he might go for 40.
And we still haven't seen this team fully, all of them click in the same game. And like when that happens, I think it's going to be so wonderful. Hopefully, I mean, we've got Indiana up here on the road. I believe that's still on the road.
And Indiana is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one in terms of history and legacy with Indiana. Anytime you play them, I don't know where they're at as a program. And after that, we turn into SEC play and first of the year. So
I'll say this, though. Coming back the way they did after the disappointment in Western Kentucky, that was good to see.
Yeah.
A good bounce back like that. You could tell they were ready to play, obviously, with whatever happened with them in the locker room and everything. That's, you know, that, I mean, this team's dangerous. I mean, if you want to poke the bear, I guess go ahead and poke the bear. But it was, I tell you what, right now, and this is going to sound stupid, but just kind of overall, especially knowing where they came from last year, I'm thinking Adriel Bailey should be like the team MVP right now.
Yeah.
He gets everything going. I mean, he doesn't put up the points, but he's dirty down low, getting rebounds. He's a hell of a defensive player, active hands. Actually, Mason Jones had a steal that I thought was so fundamentally beautiful. He was at the top of the key, and his, you know, he kind of got out of his zone a little bit, chasing to pass it off to the next guy. And when he pulled back, he put his hands up, rotating towards his man, and when he did that, ball hit it, turned around, took it off to the other side. That's just fundamentals, keeping those hands up.
Right.
And you can see Musselman on the sideline all the time. I think at one point Musselman was guarding a ghost at some point. So just
– you could hear Musselman. So for like the first half or so, I wasn't able to watch, but I was listening. Yeah, to Chuck's call, which is always wonderful.
But, yeah, I haven't got to hear that. You told me it was a good one at the end of half.
Yeah, it was another buzzer beater from Mason Jones on that one. It was a great call from him because initially he was like, and it's no good. And then he's like, it dropped! Because, you know, it was a little high bounce on that one.
It was slow motion.
But it was, you could hear Musselman on the calls yelling at guys on the radio. Which, you know,
did he get animated a little bit?
In terms of, you mean colorful?
Or yeah,
or the colorful? No, it wasn't anything like that. But what I was hearing, he just was yelling players' names. But driving in, so for listeners, I live in Salem Springs, and it's kind of a dead zone when it comes to the radio side of things. And I'll listen to two sport because there's 99.5 and there's 92.1 that both will broadcast a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
So driving in to Siloam, I'm on 92.1, and I start to lose it, and sometimes 99.5 can be good. So I switch over to 99.5, and I'm actually getting the Tulsa play-by-play on the deal.
Oh, are
when
you?
I'm pulling into my neighborhood, and this is pretty much right at the end of half, or the first half, and they're talking about the double technicals. Between Bailey, which so uncharacteristic to see Bailey kind of have a mental lapse a little bit, and apparently the other player had some words, and that's what the T for him was. But the you wouldn't have thought that it was a like legitimate university play-by-play listening to them talk about the double T's, because one guy on there was it's worse than Zimmerman in terms of being a homer. Zimmerman can get pretty
rough.
Bad.
Yeah.
But this guy went on there, and he's just like, that's complete garbage, and just went on a nice little rant. And I'm like, did I switch over to a podcast? Like, man, whoever their producer was on that side of it was probably waiting for that, like, dump button or the delay, like, FCC's going to get on us. But it was
that lit up, huh?
It was so bad. And I was like, you're being a little dramatic, right?
What I love the positioning that Zimmerman and Chuck have on the TV broadcast, because they obviously look at Musselman a lot, and they're back there behind him right by the bench. And every now and then you can see Zimmerman's red face.
Yep.
And he's like, he's off mic a little bit looking over, you know, and he's getting into Chuck about God knows what with Zimmerman. And I'm always like, man, I wish I could hear that on the radio right now, because I bet he is blowing up.
Yeah,
whatever the case.
I understand the purpose, but you probably just gave producer Luke an aneurysm by going off mic there.
It was all part of it.
You can't step. You can't step away and be all muffled like that.
It was for effect. Jordan turns off mic. That's what he said. It was for effect.
Yeah.
People will understand. Good Lord, you're sensitive.
And I'll be honest, because it was in the middle of a commercial when it switched over. When I switched over there, and I was like, oh, okay. Kept driving in, and then I'm hearing it, and I was like, that ain't our guys. And then I
what happened to Chuck?
They get really upset, and I'm like, oh my gosh! But then I gotta move closer, I guess.
That's weird though. That's a pretty good distance from there. You're closer to Fayetteville than you are to Tulsa.
So when I'm not, when it isn't a Razorback broadcast, or I guess when they're not doing a Tulsa one, that 99.5. Sometimes it blurs in between. Sometimes it comes in louder on the ESPN side, or sometimes I get classic rock or country from Tulsa. I feel like I'm closer to Fayetteville, but whatever. Which I am closer to Fayetteville.
You know, Asylum Springs gets a little crap, so we'll leave it be at that. But also, you know, we kind of got off on the men's, but the women today put up almost another 100 piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like one shy. Is that, yeah.
Yeah, 99
to 39. Against Northwestern State. That is a butt whoop.
Yeah, we saw a 50-point win against Tulsa on Wednesday night, and then they just said, hang on, hold my Gatorade, I'm going to put up 60 on Tulsa. Or on, who was this? This was Northwestern State.
Northwestern State, yeah. They played Tulsa, like.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah.
But anyway, I was looking, too. Indiana is currently ranked 12th.
Ooh.
And it was 10-1.
Gonna be a good matchup there.
And we're there. But we are at Indiana. That's gonna be a good news is we got eight days. 15 days. Good Lord, I had my dates mixed up there. Valparaiso.
Valpro. Anybody? Yeah.
Valpro, is that what we're calling it? That's gonna be hopefully a pretty decent warm up game. That's next Saturday. And then we have an 8-day break. Obviously, Christmas is in there. Hopefully, they were talking a lot about on the local radio shows how we had a pretty good break in between Western Kentucky, you know, a whole week between Western Kentucky and Tulsa. And a good look how, or Musselman was saying how it's basically back to training camp. And like I said, they came out looking really good. Tulsa's not a terrible team. They're not great. But hopefully, after we get past Valpro, 8 days of training camp, maybe we'll have something for Indiana.
It's a good test, obviously, to see where it is. But going back to the women's matchup that we were discussing.
Well, I had to get back on the Indiana deal.
Yeah, it's fine. But the one thing you really, like we've said multiple times, the women's, they are a fun team to watch, and they've got scores throughout. I mean, last year Dungy came on, and that kind of seemed to be the name amongst Monk after that, but now seems like they're going to score from anywhere. You got Amber Ramirez, who put up 21, and I'm pretty sure that was pretty much the first half. I didn't see her much in the third. So, and then you had double digits from Dungy, Daniels, Godden. It just keeps on going.
The whole team, I mean.
24-0 between first and second quarter, they had a 24-0 run. At one point, it was 13-13. I mean.
And then they said, okay, this is what it's like to play with the team. Now we out.
Yep.
Got to handle some business real quick. I'm just looking at the points, though, and, like, literally the whole team, with the exception of Grace Spangler, and I'm not. Yeah, okay, so she was on the court, but literally everybody on the team, with the exception of her, scored a point.
Right.
Or 2 points or more.
And there's still some leadership that's sitting. Healing up, we got, I believe, still 3 seniors on the bench that are injured and will play later on this year, probably in the heart of the SEC play, which is kind of a good talking point because you're going to come in with some fresh legs.
Yeah, so, and it's the SEC right around the corner. Is a gauntlet no matter what sport you're in, men's or women's, it's always tough. So the more the merrier. And I'll tell you, Alexis Tollfree, she only scored 4, but she facilitates really well. It's like, I think Neighbors has mentioned it probably 3 or 4 separate occasions in his press conferences, how she's just gotten a different feel for it this year. If she needs to score, she'll score. If she knows everybody else is, you know, I don't even want to say carrying her slack because there's not a whole lot of slack on this team, but if she needs to just get the ball out of her hands and into the playmaker, she'll do it.
Yeah,
she can score. She's a scorer, I think. The other day, she scored against, let's see if I can pull that up real quick, but I think she was in the 20s against Tulsa.
It's the definition of, yeah, she had a really good game against
20,
Tulsa.
Yeah, she had exactly 20, yep.
But it's one of those deals, definition of leadership, and she's kind of taken over that role and fallen into it. And it is definitely hard to tell still in the women's game with the opponents that they've had. But they're going to make some noise, and we'll see where they fall into place in terms of, because it's a big drop-off about their top, you know, the top five teams in the country, and then it right. kind of starts leveling out there. But they're working their way up, currently 21 in the country, and, you know, off of a 3-0 homestand going in, they're probably going to be in the 17 range, probably when the rankings come back out on that side. But if you know, North, the Little Rock folks, we've said it, Saturday coming up, you have an opportunity to watch both of them. I know you guys don't get a lot. You don't. Sometimes it's hard to take that drive up here. Completely understand that. If you want that opportunity, it's going to be next Saturday for you. And those are going to be 1 o'clock for the women's, and then it's going to be a 7 o'clock game. And the women are actually going to be playing University of Arkansas Little Rock. So
I'm just going to point out that 3-game homestand, they outscored their opponents 272 to 152.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, and the bulk of that 152 came from Kansas State, who is obviously a little bit better competition than what they've been playing. But both teams' defense is just, the men's and the women's, just ridiculous. They're all so active. Neighbors, we pretty much knew his first year that, hey, he's doing something with them. Like, yep. this is a good coach. It's insane to me. I know that we're probably going to get our feelings hurt with the men's once the SEC schedule hits, but you can totally tell a difference. I mean, we've won games that Georgia Tech, for instance,
right.
wouldn't have happened under Anderson.
Wouldn't have a chance to win.
Right. So it's exciting. You know, it's exciting because we've had such a tough football year, and obviously that's picking up a little bit of excitement, but we've got two good teams in basketball to look forward to. Baseball is going to do what baseball does. Softball team is going to be right there. So happier times for the Arkansas fans, especially the ones that follow everything. You know, happier times are coming, and I hope we make at least more than half of the women's home games. You know, we can set up in the press booth, and I don't know, what would you call that? Press row?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's copyright. I know it's a radio program, but I don't think it's
Grant will be okay with it. But, he'll be there, too.
Yeah, I mean, and I got a question for you. It's a little bit off topic, but it's still in. You know, we're expanding our horizons, I would say, covering the women's basketball, which has been amazing. The staff there has been great. And
shout out, Mario.
It's been a fun time. Really glad that we're able to do that. But you are a father of two daughters. That's so right. When you look at all the sports that the university has to offer in terms of NCAA accreditation, because we're strictly talking, you know, the tennis, the volleyball, the soccer, gymnastics, basketball, women's basketball, softball, all those kind of things. It's kind of nice to be able to take your little one when they're trying to figure out what kind of sports they want to be or what they're interested in. You've got really good venues and really good places to go and go see some winners, like good programs.
Cause, right.
You know, it's definitely picking up. Football carries the load when it comes to the athletic department. But
yes, sir.
These other programs, besides track, because it's always been a track deal in baseball, but baseball has, I think, taken that next step. Because honestly, for a while, they were plateaued at their level. It was still a good level, but they were just missing that. And I think that's fine. We kind of made that jump.
So, the goat's figured it out.
The goat has figured it out. So, as a father, what do you feel like that? I mean, which one of these events are you gonna try?
Oh, they've got to see neighbors.
Yeah, see neighbors.
It's got to, and that's not because we're talking about them. Obviously,
neighbors is a fun guy. I mean, just real personable
he's
and everything.
So
like
down
that.
To earth, man.
And I bet as soon as he meets one of the little ones, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, he sees you again, he's going to be asking you about you. Probably by name of the little ones, too. So
yeah. He's actually got a pretty good reputation of remembering, you know, names and stuff. He doesn't. Me, I have a huge problem with, hey, Dylan, nice to meet you. 5 seconds later, I'm like, what is this guy's name?
Yeah, but, it took like 2 or 3 years. So.
Yeah, minimum. But, no, I'd say, you know, neighbors and the women's basketball team, Dyfel, Courtney Dyfel's team and softball and everything. Honestly, if I'm being 100% genuine, it's those two because I can teach those two. You get outside of that, I don't know. I mean, maybe my sister could help with soccer if we went that route. But that's a little bit of a bad question to ask me. I guess maybe ask our buddy Jared something like that because he has no skin in the game when it comes to that kind of stuff.
He'll go. I feel like he'll go to anything. But I am intrigued on that side of things because as a father of boys, we got another one on the way. It's kind of inherent, you know. Always can go out, take them to the old ballpark, either baseball, basketball. We can go watch a football game. All that stuff is pretty much there. So,
well, hopefully.
Not saying women can't, you know, play football or anything like that, but you can't.
They shouldn't.
You can't at NCAA but, record or level.
I think too. Hopefully, with the connections we are gathering, doing this, maybe I could give my daughters a really good behind the scenes look of kind of the ins and outs, and possibly get them on the court during one of those halftime shows or something like that. It's exciting. I mean, we're looking at probably 3 years minimum before any of that even happens. Cause right now both of them would bring Bud Walton down. So we don't need that. I can't afford to fix repairs on that.
Yeah. And I just saw on the Indiana bouncing back to the Indiana men's basketball game that we've got Sunday, December 29th. It's going to be on Big Ten Network. Right off the top of my head, I don't know if I've got that one.
I don't know either. I think we do.
If I do have it, that's awesome. If I don't, it's probably worth it for me to find a way to get it, and I won't feel bad if I'm spending a little extra on the Big Ten Network. But when we play Texas and it's on the Longhorn Network, I definitely have a moral dilemma on that side of things.
You're watching. Plain and simple. It might be a little moral dilemma, but you're watching.
No, I'm probably trying to listen to it either on TuneIn or something on our side, at least. At least do that, because I really don't want to give money to the Longhorn Network. Really don't.
Well, I already am, because it's part of the
built in, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't a la carte that one out, so to speak. So I have no issues with it. As long as we're kicking their butts on Longhorn Network, doesn't matter. I mean, that's almost like kind of vindication a little bit. Think about it. So
it is.
Like you're paying us to whoop your ass right now.
It is sometimes fun to watch or listen to the other commentators and whatnot. And I mean, it's already bad enough because it feels like nationally it seems homerism on the other side anytime. But that's just because we're diehard Hawk fans. But then you go to one that is straight up a Homer Network, and you're like, oh, that's what it's like to be on the home side of it.
We caught
it's kind
of baseball season's really rough with that kind of stuff.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I'm talking about diehard fans and everything, and we mentioned it on Twitter, this JB stuff. You know, yeah. We went on the Feinbaum show, and apparently a lot of folks, and I guess disclaimer time, right? It does kind of pain me a little bit to have to defend JB. I'm not defending JB
lovers.
Yeah.
No, you are, and it's fine to admit it. I mean, we are two mature adults here. I mean, there are very few things in life. If I just absolutely can't stand something or disagree with something, if something has a point or is in the right, I will call it as I see it. And in this situation, we don't love JB. You use him for tickets. I'll say that.
I definitely used to.
Yeah, he goes on the Feinbaum show, and I, you know, think that there are better options. However, he gets blown out because he's being honest about his opinions. He doesn't call Feinbaum show, and Feinbaum's expecting him to give the university's answers. He is a local radio show who covers the Hogs and some Northeastern stuff, and he was giving his opinion about things, and he got blown out for it real bad.
Yep.
people are saying some pretty messed up things about him, and, you know, his northern accent's quite annoying to me, but you're listening to me, and you know I'm not a northern accent kind of guy, but sometimes his takes, I think, are a little too spicy, and don't agree with them all, but in this situation, I don't feel like he did anything wrong.
It was a lot of facts. Feinbaum has gotten, I feel like, Wally Hall level hate right
Feinbaum's,
now.
Feinbaum's, yeah.
In turn, just because he was straight up, didn't necessarily agree with the Pittman hire and didn't know much about it and then went on to talk about it, which is kind of puts you in a bad spot. I think at one point he even said he didn't listen to the or watch the introduction presser. So it's like kind of put yourself at a bad spot if you're going to go into that. But then JB goes on there, and it is. I mean, you can't sit here and say that Pittman was a slam dunk hire. He was the number one guy. It wasn't that kind of deal. And with any coach that was mentioned during the whole search, there's going to be a red flag or you're going to be skeptic of something. Mm-hmm. Eli Drinkwitz, for one. What was it?
Newbie,
young guy, one-year head coach. Sam Pittman, same deal, where no head coaching is, you know, we've already heard that kind of stuff. But do you expect JB to go on there and just push it? Because then you're going to, you know, it was some derogatory and colorful stuff in terms of that, like, that was being directed towards JB, which just isn't right on that deal. And they took over his show, because I did end up listening the following night after all the Twitter hate went through, and first thing in the morning he took over, and it was probably a good 30-45 minutes of his 3-hour show that he gave to the Twitter trolls, and to the point where it was actually part of his question of the day. So I guess they really do win, because it happened through the week and now we're talking about it. But we also
who's
said,
that the trolls win.
Yeah,
I mean if you're okay with being that guy, you win. But
ultimately, what really bothered me about the whole thing, and I said it in the tweet that I sent out, is no matter what, if you have a disagreement with somebody when it comes to the sports talk thing, that's perfectly fine. You can debate, you can talk about it. That's the beauty of sports talk. But the idea of hiding behind it, and there's some people that say, well, I can't use my real name and say this stuff or else I get fired. Then you probably shouldn't be saying it.
Exactly.
Like, if you can't.
It's the classic joke. If you can't say what you're calling someone without using the first letter, then you probably shouldn't call someone that. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't get too much into that, but it's a classic as far as insults and stuff. So, and the one particular that's really lit this fuse is none other than the fella with sources.
With sources, yeah. So.
It's a circle. I mean, Twitter to that guy is high school, and he wants to be the most popular fellow on there.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, he has become that.
He wants to kick up those follower counts, and I guess that's happening, buddy. I mean, you're getting talked about. You're getting your regional, local 15 minutes of fame, so congratulations.
Well, the problem is it's not 15 minutes. But we're on Twitter talk right now. Want to hit it?
Ooh.
Mailbag.
Oh, it's been a while since I used these.
Oh man,
is it this one?
Twitter dirt.
There's probably
Sorry, Andy,
one
we'll
in there.
We'll get back
yeah.
to you in a little bit.
We'll get to Andy's mailbag here in a little bit.
Oh man, so we're talking about Twitter and followers and that kind of stuff. How do I do this, man?
I mean, you're already in it.
We
already talked about bringing out the shovels. We probably are a little delayed on hitting the button twice wrong anyway.
Twice. Oh,
hey,
poor Dylan.
It's whatever. We're not cutting it out. You're welcome, folks. This is
if
what you get.
Yeah, see, that's what's great about us. We literally just one live take and just hope it turned out okay.
Yeah.
But mainly for producer Luke, because all of a sudden he's got a job again. But if you are the nationally ranked 7,413th.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Running back.
I got to get my seat for this one.
And you are ranked in Arkansas as 111th in Arkansas. We're a fairly small state. Do you think you deserve a Division I scholarship?
No, because I'm a realist.
And we're talking about none other than Brandon, sorry, John Oliver.
Don't you speak that name. Come on now.
And that's honestly why he's my dirt. The kid's grinding. He's trying to get recognized. I'm sorry, but the stats do not support it whatsoever. You have 369 yards through, how many games was it, six?
Mm-hmm. He's not playing a full season. Yes, he's playing both sides of the ball technically. But, again, the idea behind it, grinding, I'm perfectly fine with it. Everybody wants the Rudy underdog story, all that stuff, right? But what really gets me irritated is the Brandon Burlesworth side of things. Like we said on the last episode, we were fortunate enough to be at the award ceremony, meet a lot of people, meet people in the foundation, meet Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brings it to light. And, they might be fine with it. I don't know their personal opinion of using Brandon's name in this kind of stuff.
He put them in a tough spot because even if they don't agree with it, it's not like they're fixing to go out there and slam the kid.
Yeah, it's not good for us either way. But when you're using it like that, you can sit there and try to paint the parallels as much as you want, but at least Brandon in its senior year was All-State.
Right.
Like, he was overlooked, yes, but it was more he worked and grinded to that, and you saw the progression. Here, there isn't progression in terms of what has been put on the field.
And not only that, the Burlesworth way is walking on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting a scholarship.
Yeah, it's not trying to get a scholarship. And
not until your junior year, right? When he finally got awarded his scholarship, Burlesworth.
I can completely guarantee you that if Brandon was going through Twitter like this, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be this approach to trying to get on the Hogs. He wouldn't have time for Twitter, and if he did, it would probably remind me a lot of Cody Walker's Twitter back in the day when it was just scripture and spreading the word, which was awesome.
Right.
It really, really irritates me using the Burlesworth side of things. And then you just dive deeper into it, the tactics and everything of that sort. I don't understand. There's a few different ways. Obviously, straight walking on and being that person and making that grind. If you make it, you're playing, you're providing, then I will be the first person to admit that I was wrong.
If you go and make it, honestly, I hope he proves us wrong, because right now it's just a terrible look.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sit well with me. His Twitter following has sort of digressed a bit. A lot of people have looked into Max Preps and looked at his, national, or not even national, just your state rank. You ain't getting it done, fella.
Listen, I mean, there's guys with 2,000 yards rushing this year that don't have offers in terms of FBS Division I. offers, and I don't see them talking that game.
And
there is one that maybe needs to get a closer look that we've talked about
down south. Well, I went back and looked because I'm not going to say his name on here, but kid I played with all those decades ago, and looked him up on Max Preps, and
Have the forward pass then? Is that why his rushing yards were so?
That was the first year. It was the first year, so everybody was learning it a little bit. But, no, Ozark did not throw the ball. But that's why I didn't get drafted in or scholarship anywhere at tight end. But went and looked at his, and dude was a baller. Just fast. He ran like a 4.3-something 40. Tough some bitch. And he had 2,042 rushing yards, 22 touchdowns. And he was still in like the 5,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
And he got looked at by, at the time – State and Conway were not Division I, but, not State, I'm sorry, Tech. And he tried to make it there. I don't know really what happened to him. Point being is Razorbacks weren't knocking on, coach's door then about him.
Mm-hmm.
And no offense, Mr. Oliver, but he's better than you are. Much better.
Yeah, you just ain't it.
You just ain't it. And again,
go grind, find somewhere where they can spend the time on you, because honestly, being a walk-on, you're going to be doing a lot of your self-coaching, or you're going to have to find a different, they're not going to be able to sit there and
You ain't gonna be able to groom you personally.
Yeah.
And here's something.
Go somewhere
Boyd
where you
obviously
can get
got a scholarship to Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we know, grades is what screwed him up, but he had to go the JUCO route. But there's the difference. He went the JUCO route. He loved the sport of football so much, not to give up on it. He went the JUCO route. You're not, if Boyd ain't too good for JUCO, John Oliver, you ain't too good for JUCO. Go do that. And also, that smaller teams, they can maybe get a little bit more one-on-one coaching with you that Dylan's talking about. And, you know, after 2 years, then, you know, shout out to Pittman. See what's up.
Yeah.
Right now, just like we said, if you want to do your grinding for recruiting and all that, that's fine. But leave Burlesworth out of it. There's no parallels there.
Nope. And that is a mix of our JRD Hogcast Twitter dirt and Jordan Russell's high school reminiscing corner. Back in the good old days.
I had to just, because like I said, old boy was mucho better, and I had to do it. My high school days were not that glamorous.
Yeah.
A little thinner. That's it.
Like they running that same scheme at Ozark today?
Hell no. They're throwing the tight end the ball these days. We talked to Burns about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I did get all conference.
I've seen that conference, though.
Honorable. Hey, back
honorable mention?
Yeah.
Did you just HM me? Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. I was a little salty about that. But we talked to Burns about that. Like, hey, man, would I get the ball more in your offense? I don't think that was actually on the recording, though. It might have been after the piece. But he did say, you're damn right, Jordan. That's what he said.
Yeah, whatever.
He didn't say that
either. I'll have to go back into the archives and call you out on that one because I seriously doubt it.
Oh, man, I'm just trying to be great.
Tell us if we're wrong. Yeah, honestly, that's why we do this. Tell us if we're wrong. At JRD Hogcast, you can call and text 479-308-8605.
And if there are any listeners out there that are on the John Oliver train, don't get your feelings hurt. I mean, we're just two guys talking. If you're listening, obviously that means you enjoy it. Don't break up with us. It's just one thing out of these 62 episodes that you don't agree with. Right. We have not ever said anything else you don't agree with, ever.
Yeah.
You buy that?
Sure. I don't have a transfer portal sound for you. I know you're waiting on it. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What have you been doing all day? Spending time with your family?
Yeah, so asterisk, transfer portal sound here.
Well, you wouldn't hit the right button anyway if you got it.
So you just want me to hit a random one? There we go, transfer portal.
Right. Well, here it is. So this one hurts, man. This one hurts a lot. Colin Clay, the Oracle.
Yeah, it did.
Has entered the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Why, man?
Oh, wait, I do have a sound for that one. Hang on. I do have a sound.
It hurt Kanan Sandy's feelings, man. Like, he's out there on Twitter, you know, he's trying to be the Oracle to the Oracle right now.
Yeah, it's tough to see that kind of stuff, man. Hopefully.
And Enoch Jackson, those two are tight.
I know they're tight. It's one of those deals, too. This was after the Barry Odom announcement.
Right.
So, I was sitting here talking about, let's hold down the fort, see who we get, that whole deal, and then the transfer happens right after. Obviously, because they're in the transfer portal, doesn't mean it's locked in.
Devin Bush, prime example.
You know, can always deal. It just seems like it's another attempt at recruiting. But, hey, thing about Colin Clay is he doesn't necessarily – he can be worked on the whole time. He's technically still on the team. So Sam Pittman can still be talking to him and having conversations if need be.
What do you think the reasoning is? I saw a little bit of talks about he's a 4-3 guy and Barry Odom can be a 3-4 guy. I don't – even if that's the case, Colin Clay's
– he seemed pretty versatile in terms
of – yeah, he seems versatile, and he seemed like he genuinely – you know, there's always that commit to the university stuff, or I'm kind of indifferent on, but he seemed to really care. And also the timing of it, it wasn't right after Morris was fired.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of makes me wonder, did somebody get in his ear from somewhere we don't know about? I mean, you know, it's a weird deal. It's just, I did not expect out of everybody on that team, everybody, with the exception of Burks, he would have been the last one I would have thought to enter the portal.
Right. Especially, like you said, time-wise, because if he's a fully bought-in Chad Morris guy, then you almost would have thought that you would have seen that quicker. But also,
and that relationship doesn't make sense. You know, Morris being an off 30% offensive guy, Colin Clay being a defensive guy. I don't know. Maybe Barry Odom said something to him after the game and he didn't like it.
Maybe he just really liked practicing against Chad Morris offenses.
Because he can dominate?
Yeah.
That's good day.
See there?
And also on the defensive side, we're losing the one, the only, Cameron Curl.
Yeah. I believe we mentioned that already.
Did we mention that going? I didn't think we had. But that sucks. But you kind of have a thing laid out here about coordinators.
Yeah, kind of dove a little bit with the help of our folks at Rivals to kind of break down and fill in some folks in terms of where our coaches went and assistants went and who has been officially hired. So right now the officials are Brad Davis, the O-line coach that we got from Missouri, and then Barry Odom, the defensive coordinator. I don't know if they're actually going to pick him up as a linebacker coach as well. But defensive coordinator, Missouri as well, and where we got him. And then Justin Stepp, it has been retained from the previous
staff. I feel like that was a good retention there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the receiver's really, you know, he's the kind of the Lunny of the tight ends with the receivers, so that was a good retention there.
And then according to Rivals, there's still some assistants that are recruiting, which is Ron Cooper, who was the safeties coach as well, and he could be retained, hasn't had anything official. And then one that we haven't seen on the road is Kenny Ingram, defensive tackle. So now maybe we talk about, or I'm assuming defensive line when they write that out, so defensive line coach. So maybe he knows something on that side of things. Maybe it's a positional deal. Maybe he's Ingram guy. Obviously, we're looking too far into it. But, hey, that's what we do on this.
That's what we do, and that's why we do it. So, at this point, though, everything defensively, that's all up to Odom, you would imagine.
Right, in terms maybe, of fires and stuff.
Yeah, maybe get the sign-off by Pittman. But I feel like Pittman's really going to let Odom pretty much handle that.
As a former head coach of, with
it's
Barry.
It's not too much for him.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. It's literally half of what he's used to doing. Yeah. So. Which is a good thing. I think as little that you can put on Pittman positionally is better.
Yeah, he's still got to go and look for an OC. So in terms of that.
Who is that going to be? How have we not heard about that yet?
In terms of that, we kind of jumped into that. And going back to our folks at Rivals and Andrew Hutchinson, he put a little piece out talking a list of candidates. And we'll just spitball them here. We've got a... Major Applewhite, who I believe was at SMU. He's currently one of those many Alabama assistants in terms of an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Kendall Briles, which I really have a hard time with this because he's probably going to follow, isn't he? I thought he's going to follow Lane Kiffin from FAU.
He might.
Am I mistaking on that? Oh, so I don't know. But... Nah, I might not have all my facts on that, I'll be honest. Because I feel like he was there for a year, and I don't...
Nowhere on our show tag does it say all facts.
Yeah, FAU, and he's got stuff with Florida State. Who knows? Anyway, Jim Chaney? No.
He's already... That's not happening. Yeah.
So, and then I think this is probably your favorite up there for me, Rhett Lashley.
My favorite? No, I'm still kind of on Enos.
Enos guy. Well, I can tell you Enos isn't on here.
He's not on there. Nope. He's not on that. Doesn't mean it's not happening.
And then we've got Chip Long, who has definitely gotten a lot
more
hit. He's got
the most smoke.
Yeah. It was talked about from Football Scoops that he wasn't going to return as Notre Dame's offensive coordinator in 2020. So that's something to keep out because apparently he's looking for a job. And then a name that... It's a little interesting with the Ole Miss firing of Matt Luke and all that kind of stuff. Rich Rodriguez, former head coach guy.
Which you like.
Which I do like. And you obviously, Sam Pittman has, you know, done that with the defensive side with Barry. So, Rich Rog, Ole Miss has had some pretty good offenses in the
Ole
last 2 years.
Ole Miss has always been
so,
an offensive team. Well, not always, but, you know, most recently.
Most recently, yeah. But I did skip through some because one of them was Bobby Petrino, and I just can't take that seriously because I feel like if we're going to
– That's on an article?
That's from Hutch. It says, yeah.
He put Bobby P in there? Yeah. Is he trolling?
And then it says this is a little bit of a wild card. So, yeah, of course, because of his tenure at Arkansas. But also, if we're going to drag out when he was – talked about for the head coaching job. If we're going to drag out contracts just because it's a coordinator job, he can't be hired on at Arkansas, right? So,
but
okay.
That's also under a new regime.
It still doesn't matter.
No, I don't want it. I don't want it at all. You were always an Enos guy when he was here, and you were a pretty big defender of Enos when he was here.
Yeah.
Why is he not more up there for you?
I think it's just I'm leaning more on a likelihood deal, and Sam Pittman, I don't think can afford to get any more heat in terms of that. If he hired Enos, it would, I think, irritate the majority more than the minority. Because if you're actually look at Enos, again, former head coach, so he checks that box for me, and I don't care the level. You go back and look at it at Central Michigan.
He's also been behind the scenes at Alabama.
Yeah.
Now.
If you go back and look at Central Michigan, when he was the head coach, he developed 3,000 and 4,000-yard passers. And that talks about fundamentals, mechanics, and all the stuff that you need for good quarterback play. It's not just slinging it.
Producer here said, bring back the Bielema crew. I feel like he's being a little facetious with that. I think
maybe,
he's questioning me.
Maybe.
I don't mean it that way, but Bielema did have some good guys here. And Bielema did. Those guys left. And what's Rob up to?
Rob Smith is currently unemployed. So that's who he's referring to there.
But is that not Rod?
It's Rob.
Is it Rob?
Two B's. Guess
wow, I didn't call him Rod Smith once while he was here. but no, Enos had a good thing going. And we've talked about we felt he was a little handicapped with Bielema's control over that. So I don't know. I mean, and Dylan doesn't seem to think it's happening. So Dylan's got sources. I trust him. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but I don't trust my source of my sources.
So. Now that puts you in a pickle.
Yeah, it does. Like I feel like my last source is good, but my first source doesn't match with my last source. So it's sources headbutting. We're gonna have to have them in like a wrestling match.
You want to cut some ties with one of them? Go with the one that's wrong.
Well, I have to wait and see which one's wrong.
That's a good point out of you there, too. Man, I don't know how you juggle the daily life of Dylan. You know so many people. It's crazy.
All these sources that are bouncing around. But, hey, also, you're one of those sources.
I am?
You ever think about it. If you give me information, you're a source. But if that information is wrong, you told me to get rid of you. So
the plot
has thickened. Oh, how the turntables have turned.
I've got to go. It's been good here. Because if all I got to do is be wrong, then I'm solid.
All right. Well, we've talked bowl games on the previous episode. We do have a
and
bowl
also
challenge.
For listeners, appreciate it that have joined the bowl challenge.
Yeah, we do. We do have some listeners on there. You can join in there. There's a link on there. I'll probably send it back out with the publish of this one. There's plenty of time out there. But why don't we dive in to some of these SEC matchups here? I've got a little graphic up there. What are you looking forward to in terms of these bowl games?
Well, there, obviously,
you can keep looking. There's not an Arkansas one. I dug real deep, hit up all my sources. For some reason, there's not an Arkansas bowl.
Politics.
Yeah.
Obviously, the biggest one is LSU-OU in the semifinal Peach Bowl. Kind of looking through here though, because I have not seen the lineup or I've seen it, but I didn't remember it. I feel like aside from LSU, Georgia's got the toughest matchup.
Yeah, that is the All-State Sugar Bowl with Baylor.
And Baylor, I feel, is going to play to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama is playing Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. Do they play? Do they even show up?
I mean, they have had a history of...
Oh, you beat them once. Yeah. That tells you anything.
Of if it's not the playoffs or it's not a BCS bowl, we don't necessarily play. And obviously, they've won their share of lesser bowl games. But in recent memory, I have definitely seen Alabama, you know, because you've got guys that are like, well, I don't got to play. I'm not going to go get ready for the draft and so forth.
Can't
please,
set out a semifinal.
Yeah, yeah. But please,
don't let Michigan beat you.
Don't let Michigan beat you here. I'm not an SEC fan in terms of that. I'm a football fan. I've said that multiple times. I like to see good matchups. I do think that will be a decent matchup, but Alabama will eventually run away with it. Ones that I feel like are going to be pretty sorry is like the Capital One Bowl because like Virginia and Florida. They are definitely parallels in terms of conference, so that makes sense. But it's not – I think it's just going to be a sorry football game there.
In the way of Florida, they're just going to run them out the
– eventually. I don't get the hype between either one of those. Obviously, Virginia had a good year. And in terms of that, that's going to be a big deal for them. But Orange Bowl. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's in Florida.
In the Florida. But here's
but no,
one.
I think here, where's the one that you're going to be rooting for
there it
is Minnesota and Auburn.
Yeah. New Year's Day, which I got to work. New Year's Day, Minnesota versus Auburn. Yeah. Anyway, January 1st. Where is the Outback Bowl? Can I get some producer Luke?
Isn't that one in Florida, too?
Is that another Florida one? Or?
It's not in Australia. Right?
There's like 14 in New Orleans. I can't keep track of those either. I mean, or
I
in Louisiana.
Outback Bowl. it is Australia. Cool.
It's Australia. Yeah, no.
We can get Luke to come in with that. But what do you think there? Do you think Minnesota plays with Auburn? That's going to be by far the toughest defense that Minnesota's faced all year.
Yeah. When you're talking about that kind of stuff, Auburn is, aren't they the ones that lost to UCF, led up on UCF? So again,
yeah, it's in Tampa, Florida, Outback Bowl, Raymond James Stadium.
That's a jog for Minnesota.
Yeah. Did Auburn lose to UCF?
Who was it that, you know, made UCF national champions? I thought it was Auburn.
Maybe it was Auburn. But what are you saying? They're kind of Alabama-ish?
They're kind of Alabama-ish, but they're riding on some momentum. And unfortunately, I don't think. Well, here's the deal. I just thought of this because you told me it was in Tampa and it's in Tampa and the Buccaneers stadium. There's literally a boat in that stadium.
You think they're going to row it?
Yeah, I think they're going to row it and almost beat Auburn.
Almost beat Auburn. I don't know. PJ Fleck, he's an interesting character. They almost had me believing. And then have they lost two out of the last three?
Yes.
What the hell, man?
I know.
Auburn's.
That's a big turnaround for Minnesota, though. I will.
No, absolutely.
Like
man.
I said.
I'll give that credit.
PJ Fleck, so it's one of those. Yeah. Games. But Belk Bowl, the old Jeremy Sprinkle special.
Sprinkle's not around, right?
How'd you get
Kentucky's cards? Kentucky's going to beat the hell out of Virginia Tech.
I don't think Lynn Bowden's playing that one.
Is he not?
The old wide receiver transferred to quarterback.
Swiss Army knife?
Yeah, I believe he announced for the draft and is not playing in the bowl game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That literally changed. I need to check my picks out.
This changes everything.
That's going to be interesting because he was Kentucky's offense. Interesting.
Although the Texas Bowl, you know, you got
Jim. Come on, Mullet. If Jimbo wins a bowl game, I might need counseling.
But hey, they're paying $100 million to be in the Texas Bowl, so
they're paying to be in that.
Well, I'm saying they gave Jimbo $100 million contract.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
or 70?
75 million.
$75 million.
It's about $75 million too much.
But yeah, so obviously he's doing great things and getting you in the Texas Bowl. So
isn't that funny? Like we made the Texas Bowl and by the way, I saw the whole positioning. You know how close Texas was to being in this bowl? I almost had half of my bowl prediction right.
Oh yeah?
or a quarter of it. I made like 3-1, but we were so pumped. What was it, 2015 when we beat Texas in the Texas Bowl?
Old Brandon Allen.
Yeah, and here we are. Texas A&M's there, and we feel like they have. Do we feel A&M's underachieved because of the Jimbo Fisher crap?
Yeah, but we're not paying. Yeah, we're not paying our coach. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he was.
If you used to ask Pittman, he'd be okay with it. It was 10 years, $75 million.
Yeah, that's where the 10 is coming in. It. If you're paying that much, and they, he didn't get handed crap. Kevin Sumlin had a decent team there.
He's done no better than Sumlin. Yeah. I still think Sumlin should have that job.
But in terms of press conferences and lead up for a bowl game, that's got to be entertaining. You got Jimbo and
between
then you
the
got
two coaches.
You got Gundy with the Arkansas waterfall, as he calls it. So,
the Arkansas waterfall. That's the party, right?
That's what he refers to his mullet.
That's the party side. Okay. Well, Gundy is a guy that will probably retire at Oklahoma State.
No matter how many coaching searches he's mentioned.
No matter how many happen. He is probably excited to be there. I feel like this is who Gundy is. He is a middle-tier coach. I don't. There was a lot of people that's always excited about Gundy when we have coaching positions open here. And this is who he is. This is what you'd get if he did come here.
Yep.
And Jimbo is probably going to say something stupid and I don't know. Maybe Winston comes and visits and then goes steal some crab legs.
Together. I was going to say, you're going to bring the crab legs. I got you, coach. What you got for us?
Really, nothing too crazy. Just as far as the on-court hogs are concerned, y'all just keep grinding and keep doing the thing.
Absolutely. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke. You can hit us up at JRD Hogcast website for some merch. We are self-funded, so we get that content to you as soon as you hit that download button. JRDHogcast.com. And hit us up on our text and call line, which is 479-308-8605. And as always, woo, pig, suey. You didn't want to come in with it that time?
Oh, the yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think I say that wrong.
Not enough S's?
I think the er's not long enough. Pride on my face, 'cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl.